My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Monday, minisode. Tuesday, minisode. Wednesday, minisode. Okay. Thursday, minisode. Friday, minisode. Weekend, 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 minisode. That's a real song, but instead of minisode, they say party. It's got like a... I honestly think it might be a Latin American song because I only ever heard it in Argentina at the grocery store. And it's just like a dance beat to someone listing the days of the week and then saying party.
Like, I always party every day.
Heck yeah.
That was fun. Thank you. It also maybe gives people the idea that we're going to put out minisodes every day.
You guys, we're not, but if that makes you listen to us more, then we totally are.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know why it's not showing up on your Spotify.
Yeah, that's it must be a
really
glitch.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's wild.
Really crazy. What are you up to, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I mean, Lena and I had a long conversation before recording about how I actually am, but I, you know, there's good stuff happening, so it's important to focus on the good things happening.
Yeah, totally. So there's lots of good stuff happening for you.
There's good stuff happening. Totally. How are you?
I'm fine. Honestly, less good stuff is happening to me, but also less bad stuff is happening to me.
Yeah, I got the highs and lows.
Yeah, honestly,
baby.
I miss the mountains. Things are chill. I'm just like trying. I'm getting settled. I'm venturing out more, hanging out with more people. Good. I've actually like literally like this week I like rode the subway by myself a couple of times, which I'm a whole adult. I was very nervous about that. I convinced myself I was going to die, but I totally didn't die at all. It was honestly kind of fun. And I have been, you know, hanging out with people. I've been applying for absolutely 10,000 million jobs, but because this city is so GD populated, I have not heard back from them, but I'll let you know. I'll let you know when I do hear back because you know what, bitch? Good things are in store for my ass.
Yes.
So that's what's going on with me.
Good.
I had a pesto and a grilled cheese sandwich for dinner. I'm just going on. I'm just kidding.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ian. And, you know, I had some highs and lows. But you know what I always am is a mini gleek.
My name is Lena Knatzer. And, you know, some is mid for me. But I'm a mini gleek.
Heck yeah. Let's get into minisode 59.
59. 50 noise. Up first, we have a message from Molly.
Hi, Ian and LPC. I have some thoughts on the whole Abraham androgyny debacle. When I saw in the preview clips that Nikki asks Abraham if he feels androgynous and gets mad at him for saying he doesn't know, I figured there was context missing that would clear up why she asked that and why she thinks it's such an easy and obvious question. In a very 2012 way, it was framed as if Abraham had an issue with it because he was bullied for being feminine, and he should just simply admit that he is androgynous and get over the fact that he was bullied for it because it is a fact about him that the mentors see as obvious. What isn't really touched on is that a question like that constitutes Nikki assigning him a gender identity, slash defining the way she sees him as presenting his gender. She doesn't consider that he might not be ready to take a firm stance on how he wants to present or identify right in that moment. It's like asking someone, are you gay or something?
I would never ask that.
Like, and then being like, clearly you are. Why won't you just admit it? I spent the whole pandemic wrestling with my sexuality and then realized I might also have to consider defining my gender identity. And it's been a stressful and difficult process. So this whole thing hit me hard. I'm curious if you guys have any thoughts on this. Your episode hasn't dropped yet, so sorry if I repeated stuff. In other news, I'm feeling a bond with you guys right now because last week I moved from the east coast of Canada to Copenhagen for a semester abroad.
International listener!
And I am in a foreign land with a new language and culture, and I accidentally bought a whole kilogram of 10% fat Greek yogurt that tastes like sour cream. I go to uni in my home city, so I normally live at home, so this is an especially huge change for me. I spent today alone in my dorm because I didn't have class or the guts to ask my few new acquaintances if they'll go sightseeing with me. I just ate almost an entire loaf of bread that I got for free at the end of the day at a bakery. I am, of course, extremely grateful and lucky to have this opportunity, but it's hard and scary. Ugh, woe is me. So all that to say, I'm glad to have other people going on a similar journey as me at the same time so I feel a little less alone. Other people include you and soon Rachel Berry. Also, if there are any Copenhagen Gleeks out there, please find me. I need friends. Sending a kiss across the ocean, feel free to try to catch it with your forehead. Go spread some Recovering Glee project. Molly, she heard.
Oh, Molly. Thank you so much for this message. Gosh, moving to a new place and culture is so exciting and also scary. And I totally, like, obviously I haven't moved abroad to a new country, and I'm sure you're feeling it more than me, but even just moving to New York, I feel like it's a whole new culture instead of, like, social, customs that I just am not aware of yet. And that's just so mm-hmm. crazy. Also, if I had a dollar for every time in college I've gotten a loaf of bread and just sat in my room and ate it all day, and that was the only food I had, I would have like literally $10. I've done that so many times. Molly, you and me were the same.
Molly, my heart goes out to mm-hmm. you. Moving is always hard. Moving to like a whole different way of life, essentially. Yo, I imagine that since it is a study abroad, you're like surrounded by some people who speak your native language. Mm-hmm. But oh my gosh, moving to a place where you do not speak the primary language, mad respect to all the immigrants in the whole world. It is so hard. It is so frustrating. I remember when I was living in Argentina, I wrote in my journal that I was like, I finally get why babies cry all the time, because like there's nothing more frustrating than being like, I need this thing. And it's so clear in my head what I need, but I cannot get you to understand mm-hmm. what it is. Like, it is so hard to have that mental block. So we're with you.
Yeah,
we believe in you. And I mean, also how exciting.
I know.
You're going to learn a new language. You're in a different country. There's all this new stuff. Very hard, very scary, but also very exciting.
Yeah.
So when you got those highs and lows, you know.
Absolutely.
Just think about those highs.
Totally. I don't know. I feel like those like big leaps you take are like the things that define you, you know, like. I was talking to my friend's mom who had lived in New York for like a year with her husband. And then I was talking to my friend and they were just telling me that like everything that her mom had ever learned, all of the stories she ever told were from like that 1 year that she like made that big step and that one time that she like, you know, put herself out of her comfort zone. And my heart is really with you, Molly. I'm proud of you for doing that. And for everyone who's doing that right now, I feel like we're all kind of, you know,
yeah, we're
getting
all
antsy
shaking
and
off
moving
that
on.
Pandemic dust
totally.
And being like, well, we need to change.
We're like,
we need to
I've
change.
Got to move across the country. I've got to move abroad. And also studying abroad is the shit. I feel like everyone I love studied abroad and, you know, they're the coolest people for it.
I studied abroad, but it wasn't me moving. Did that joke even land?
Oh, now it did. You're talking about you studied abroad like you. A lady.
I was trying
Who was
to,
it?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No one.
I know, I'm messing with you.
You knew me
you.
In college.
I did know you in college. I studied more broads than you in college. Whoa, high
you
five
did.
Me.
Just kidding. Boop.
Is that disrespectful?
No, it was funny. We're keeping it. So, Molly, our heart goes out to you. Big, scary things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take days and be like, I'm going to be brave and who cares? And I don't care if I'm embarrassed or I feel uncomfortable. I'm going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. And then take other days and say, I'm going to sit inside where I feel safe. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to feel ashamed of the fact that I'm sitting inside.
Oh, yeah. No way.
You got to have a mixture of both. So you push yourself, but you don't have a nervous breakdown.
Before branches. You got to sit in your
exactly.
room before you go to the park. For real.
On to the Abraham Androgyny thing. Yeah, I completely agree. You know, I just hate that whole vibe mm-hmm. of like, well, I can clearly see who you are. So just
yeah.
hurry up and get with the program.
Yeah.
Like everyone's sexuality and gender identity and everything is such a personal journey. And it is so not helpful
yeah.
to like push someone
yeah.
because like, it's so obvious to you,
yeah.
or at least you think it's so obvious to you, like what they are.
Yeah.
You pushing them, if anything, is going to make it take longer for them to accept
mm-hmm.
it because it makes like they're not ready and it essentially traumatizes
yeah.
them.
Yeah. It also makes me think, you know, after people come out too, when people make comments, we're like, oh, I always knew. It's like, that is so supremely
mm-hmm.
fucking unhelpful. Like,
yeah.
STFU. What, Nikki, what is with. I'm so glad too, Molly, I got this message, like we got this message before the episode had even dropped. And I was like, I'm so glad that someone is on the same page as us before anyone had ever even heard it. So I got this message and got mm-hmm. very excited.
Well, Molly, thank you so much for this message. Have a great time in Copenhagen.
Yeah. Bring me back something Copenhagen-ish. Do you, one of my favorite parts of the Home
something.
Alone movie is when the kid is like, bye, bring me back something French.
Is that where the Hans Christian Andersen statue is? Yes, mm-hmm. it is. Go see that Little Mermaid statue. Give a little what's up. Say hi. Anyways.
Say hi.
Enjoy Denmark. Bye.
Next, we have a message from Sigrus.
Hey guys, it's your friend from Iceland.
International listener.
I'm at work, but I had a few thoughts, so I'm going to make this quick. I feel like the Glee Project kind of intentionally gave Nelly tasks in the music videos for her specifically that they knew were more difficult for her. For example, in the Milkshake / Jagger mashup, they gave her the bend and snap move and clothes that showed the most skin, but why? I mean, she delivered, but the producers or Zach could have given anyone that move and did not have to make her show the most skin knowing that she would probably be most uncomfortable with that. Another moment is the sexy shot in the swimming pool. They keep telling her over and over again to be sexy and are mad at her for not getting it right, but again, why not give the shot to someone else? No one else had a sexy shot like this, so it just feels like the producers are intentionally trying to make just her and none of the other contestants uncomfortable. Yet another moment is that she gets Britney Spears for the theatricality music video, and they keep telling her to be sexy over and over again, which they know makes her uncomfortable. I get that the producers can't have an actor not willing to do so many things on Glee, but it's like they did not give her a genuine chance because they kept giving her all the sexy shots and the most revealing clothes for no other reason than to make her uncomfortable. Anyways, I love your podcast, and I'm grateful for you making my shifts feel a bit shorter. Have a nice life. I'm going to do my best with this, Sigaros. Kaiv Krevja.
He was practicing Sigaros. That so much, dude.
Any Icelandic listeners, I'm sorry, I did my best.
I did my best.
Sigaros, I think you make excellent points.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I had not really considered because I just kept seeing what the producers wanted us to see, which was like Nelly keeps not wanting to do like what's asked of her, but you're so right. I understand, you know, they do sexuality week. Everyone has to do some a little sexy. But then, like, the way they keep twisting the knife
mm-hmm.
and just being like, oh, this is something you kind of struggle with.
we're going to force you to do it over and over and over again and absolutely torture you and just keep embarrassing you. I don't know. It's weird. It makes it seem like their mentality of the character they would write for Nelly is like the like sexy bombshell character.
Yeah, and it's like,
but it's like, isn't the whole point of this show that you get to know who these kids actually are and write the character based on that? Because Nelly has told you over and over again that's not who she is.
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate this message because I don't think I had thought about it in like the sense of like maybe they are intentionally, and obviously we don't have this information, but it's another way to look at it. Maybe mm-hmm. this is what happened. Maybe they are intentionally like trying to make her uncomfortable and push her like past, you know, her like not threshold, but per se, but like, you know, doing things that she's not comfortable with. And it's like, are they setting her up for failure? They're not making anyone else do this, you know? And it feels like at a certain point, it's like, okay, we get it. Stop making her squirm. Like, I don't know. Why? If she was that uncomfortable with that shot, give it to someone else. But yeah, everyone is like really pushing her to like play this bombshell character and like be with Blake. And it's like, what the hell is this even about?
Well, it's also like, you know, Sexuality Week, she was uncomfortable with it, but she committed and she did a great job. So it's like, great.
She learned the lesson. She
has proved that she's willing to go there.
Totally.
So why do you keep making her do it over and over?
Literally.
Oh my gosh.
And it's also like, you're so right. The show is for writing a character for that person. And if that's not the character they want to play, don't make her play it. I don't know. Weird. Sig Ruth, thank you for this message. Up next, we have a message from Cody.
Hello, fellow Gleeks. My name is Cody, they, them. And my birthday is the day this minisode comes out. Ripe old age of 26. Oof. Anyways, I have quite a few thoughts, specifically on theatricality, both the Glee Project and Season 1 episodes. So firstly, theatricality, the Season 1 episode, is the first episode of Glee I had ever watched because I heard they were doing a Lady Gaga episode, and being the little monster that I am, I had to make sure they did my queen justice. This was a mistake, because from that episode on, I was hooked. This damn show, like most theater kids and Gleeks, became my personality from middle school through high school. When I would watch this episode, I always like to imagine what Gaga outfit I'd want to do, because like Kurt, I'm the, quote, boy who would always want to be with the girls because comfort, and the outfit I'd choose still to this day is the caution tape outfit from the television music video. Now, on to the Glee Project episode of theatricality. As I watched the episode and listened to your thoughts, the Abraham stuff really low-key triggered me by opening up trauma. Being a non-binary person who only discovered their gender identity 3 years ago, I always struggled with feeling like I wasn't masculine enough to be a boy and always shamed for being feminine from a young age to even now within the LGBTQIA community. There's a lot of internalized homophobia and transphobia within the community, so it makes it hard for me to feel fully comfortable being more masculine one day and feminine the next. I was always called the F slur because the fact that I wanted to always hang out with the girls, had an interest in arts, and enjoyed more feminine things. It's frustrating that society won't let us just be and enjoy the things we enjoy without having to label them. Ugh. So sorry for my rant and rambles. Anyways, had I been on this episode, I fully would have wanted to be either David Bowie or Lady Gaga because I have absolutely looked up to them from a young age and they taught to just serve the drama. Okay, lastly and totally off topic, but along with reading this email, as a birthday gift, I would love for you guys to cast the Glee characters in a production of Shrek the Musical. I will listen and compare my cast with yours. Thank you for letting me rant and ramble. Keep up with the sick and dank memes on Twitter. Signed, your local bisexual non-binary disaster, Cody, they, them.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cody. Happy birthday to you.
We'll see if that audio matches up at all.
I was matching up with you. You did a good job not following me.
Okay.
It is a disaster trying to sing at the same time as someone over Zoom. You're better at it than me, dude.
Cody, welcome to 26.
I turned 26 this year too. Happy birthday, Cody. I hope you have a great birthday.
Yeah.
Does that mean
welcome?
Your birthday is Valentine's Day, Cody?
Does that mean your birthday is Arizona Statehood Day, Cody? Happy Anna is Arizona Statehood Day. A happy Anna Howard Shaw Day to us all, Cody.
Whoa, that is really crazy. Yeah. Really special birthday you got there, Cody.
Truly.
Oh my gosh.
We talked about the Abraham stuff with Molly's email, but just really quick, I so agree with you, Cody. I think labels can be very helpful for, like, you know, it can really help people feel like have a greater understanding of themselves and have a sense of community and all of that stuff. I think labels become very problematic when we need to put them on other people. Yeah. When it is just kind of like, what are you? You have to tell me exactly what you are. Like, shoot, if I don't have myself figured out, or if I like understand myself but don't really care to assign a name to it, yeah, like that's my right. Yeah. And it bothers me that it's like you're required to label everything about yourself. Yeah. Once again, if it is helpful and healthy for you to do that, you absolutely should. Mm-hmm. But if it is not helpful and healthy for you to do that, it's annoying that everyone else is like, no, but actually you have to.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And sometimes I find that, like, even labels, like, if you don't feel comfortable with a label even yet, you don't owe anyone a label. Anyone, including mm-hmm. yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like so many times people are, like, very understandably, and myself for a long time, I really struggled, like, finding a label for my sexuality, because I was like, some days I feel more this, some days I feel more this. And it really took a long time for me to like settle on a name for it. And even sometimes I'm like, I don't know that that's the name. And they mm-hmm. got to the point where I was doing that for years. Like, I knew in high school that I was like attracted to multiple genders, but that really like didn't resonate with me at the time. It took many years for me to like grapple with that feeling. And like, it also took me many years to grapple with a label. And it got to the point where I just said to myself, I don't owe this to anyone, including myself. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm just going to live. And that was okay for me then. And then, you know, I got more comfortable with a label and I've like settled on one for now. But it's also like, it could change tomorrow. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, no one owes anyone anything. And Abraham doesn't fucking owe Nikki Anders anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Cody, thank you for bringing that up.
Hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh my God. I really hope you have a good birthday. I hope 26 rocks for you.
Our present is a speed round of us casting Shrek the Musical with the new directions.
Okay, I have not pre-cast
first
this.
Up, I haven't either. It's just whatever comes out. First up is Shrek. Who are you casting?
Okay, I think there's one answer here.
There is?
Yeah.
Okay. Honestly, my answer is a hot take. One, two, three.
Frankenstein. Oh. Puck.
Puck has the whole, like, he hates the world and he's grumpy and he's got that rough
exterior.
That
doesn't mean
we should
put him in our musical. He's a bad sport.
I'm putting Puck because my Shrek. You can keep Fen.
I want Fen.
Okay. Princess Fiona.
Princess Fiona.
I think I have one, and it might be a hot take. Okay.
Oh, I've got it.
Okay. One, two, three.
Tina.
Rachel. Okay.
Yeah.
I have Tina as my young Fiona who sings the first verse of I Know It's Today.
Oh, she's so sweet.
I don't know who middle Fiona is. Middle Fiona can be Britney.
I feel like every musical I've ever cast ever, I always put Finn and Tina together. I don't know why.
You do.
I don't.
You
I just,
do. I think most of the time
she's my favorite person to cast in musicals because she's got the most like musical theater voice.
Yes,
I think to me.
That is why I frequently also cast Tina like you, because I think she has like a very beautiful lyrical voice. Mm-hmm. You know who doesn't have a lyrical voice? Sutton Foster. I personally don't think that Fiona is written to be sung lyrically.
Yeah, no, I guess
and
so.
This is not me saying that Sutton Foster doesn't have a beautiful voice, but she doesn't have like a legit operatic voice.
Tell that to and the so, music man.
Have you listened to her sing My White Knight? She's not singing it legit. She sounds
go
good.
Go
she's
go
not singing it legit. She's belting it.
That's how I would do it.
So that's why I put Rachel, yeah, because I think, and I also think that Rachel really has awesome. That. Yeah, she's got that Fiona energy where she can like act the part of like she's demure.
She's
and
like,
she's,
I've always been a morning yeah, person.
Very like mm-hmm. classically feminine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then she also is like, you know, she's a mess of contradictions mm-hmm. in a dress. I think that Rachel has the personality and voice to pull that role off.
Totally. She'd be great. I agree.
And then Brittany, of course, is middle Fiona.
Huh? Brittany would be middle.
Brittany, of course, is middle Fiona. Actually, I think I want Brittany as someone else. So middle Fiona is Sugar Mata. Okay, who's Donkey?
Oh, I love, well,
here's the problem.
Here's my problem.
There's no black man.
Exactly. I don't like it when people the whole don't cast black men in that role.
So we're bringing Matt Rutherford back. Can he act it? Can he sing it? I don't know.
It just gets so uncomfortable when I see like high schools doing that show and then casting like a young white boy, like fully doing a black scent. I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah. You know,
makes me sad.
I mean, maybe Azemio can do it. Sorry, Kurofsky.
Wait, Azemio would be great.
Azemio Adams is Donkey. Honestly, Azemio would probably do a good job.
I know.
If he had a good attitude.
I know. That's the thing is you want Puck also, and Azemio in there.
Right. Yeah, they're gonna. It's a high school production. There were always two douchebags who had lead
that's
roles.
That's true.
Okay.
Who's next?
Who's Lord Farquaad?
Oh, Lord Farquaad. Oh, I've got one.
I have. No, I got one. Okay. One, two, three.
Kurt.
Mike Chang.
Oh, Mike Chang would be great.
Ooh, Kurt is fun.
Wouldn't he just be like, could you imagine him running around on his little knees just like doing jazz hands the whole time? He'd be so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Chang would
However,
be good.
I'm saving Kurt for another one.
Are
you ready?
Yeah.
Pinocchio.
Oh, you said Kurt for this one.
One, two, three, Kurt Hummel.
Who am I gonna cast?
You Kurt singing that
Never take no, he it down, would be so good.
Come on.
Oh, he'd be so good. And who could I put in for Jesse St. James is Lord Farquaad then.
That's very good.
Thank you.
That's very good.
Thank you.
Okay, the dragon. Ready? One, two, three.
Mercedes Jones. She's the only one.
Obviously, we are doing Forever.
Yeah.
We're not doing Donkey Pot Pie. That song can go straight to hell. I hate that song. It's so funny because I would say that on the original cast recording of Shrek, Donkey Pot Pie is the worst song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say in the revised script, Forever is, in my opinion, the best yeah. song in the entire show. So it's so funny that like what was the, not even like, it was a bad part of the show and then they made it better. It was like, no, it was the lowest yeah. point and then they made it the highest point. Real highs and lows in this
Seriously.
Minisode.
I have been in Shrek the Musical. I wanted to be the dragon so bad. I still do. Wouldn't that be such a good part for me?
Mm-hmm. I love that part. I love that song.
So good.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Our final, there's like, you know, 10 billion yeah. characters in Shrek, but we're not going to be like, who's Peter Pan? So
like
our
myself.
Final, like William Schuster. So our final main featured character is Gingy slash
the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Yeah. Sugar Plum Fairy. And this is why I redacted Brittany, because I actually want Brittany
yeah,
as this
part. Yeah,
she'd
be so good.
Yeah.
She'd be so cute. And like that cute little tutu and also doing a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
I love her.
Yeah.
She'd be so cute. Yep, I agree. Is there anyone
right,
else that
shoot.
We should cast in there?
I'll
no,
look at
there's
songs
just so many fairy tale creatures.
Yeah,
but it's mostly...
There's too many.
Yeah.
The three blind mice, the
oh,
three blind
yes.
mice could be the unholy trinity.
Ooh, I would like that. That show is so cute. I was in it for a long time, so I got very sick of it. But I think that show is very cute.
I think it is pretty good. I think it could have been better.
Mm.
Here's my big thing with Shrek the Musical. How I think it could have improved. Is Shrek the Musical, and obviously this is just my opinion, everyone. It doesn't mean it's correct at all.
Yeah, just because he has a BFA doesn't mean he knows what he's talking about.
But if I could change anything, it's that Shrek the Musical starts out and we meet all of these
absolutely incredible fairy tale creatures that are so much fun. And then they say, okay, forget about them until the end of the show. We're just going to be with these two. And in the movie, it makes sense because like movies are so literal. But I wish they would have done, I think the smartest thing that Legally Blonde the musical does is they say, oh, these sorority sisters are so fun. Why don't we have them in the whole show as a theatrical device? And they do it in Shrek with the three blind mice, that the three blind mice just show up as backup dancers.
But they just do it like the one time.
Yeah, I'm like, have that be a recurring thing. Have the fairy tale creatures be a Greek chorus who keeps filling out the numbers and filling out the scenes because they're so fun and they only get about 10 minutes of stage time in the entire show. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, I love Shrek and Fiona and Donkey, but there are times during that show when I'm like, okay, when are we going to see, like, the fairy tale creatures again, though?
I know. I
wish they were just, like, more of a through line in the show.
It's also, that show is so hard. Like, for everyone involved, I feel like the people playing, like, Shrek and Donkey are, like, on stage so consistently, and they're, like, in huge, like, makeup pieces and prosthetic pieces, and then the ensemble has to, like, be, like, so many different things, and it's just, like, the show is really crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Cody.
Happy birthday.
Welcome to 26. It's been waiting for you.
Up next, we have a message from Daniel.
Hello, Ian and LPC. My name is Daniel, he, him. I'm from Guadalajara, Mexico.
International listener!
And more importantly, I am a mini Gleek. And I'm here to talk about my biggest problem with the Glee Project. I'm not talking about the misogyny or the fact that they make these children go through their traumas on TV. The ultimate beef I have with this reality show is the big talk about the slushies. For real, I cannot express enough how annoying I find this. It happened last season during Tenacity Week, and I was going to send an email about this back then, but I forgot. And then it happened again this season on Fearlessness Week, and I've had enough of this bullcrap. In both of these music videos, it is ridiculous how much slushy these kids get thrown on their faces. Not only does it happen in contexts never even seen on Glee, but the situations portrayed on these music videos truly defy the laws of reality itself. But the absolute thing I hate the most about how much of a big deal they make about the slushies is something you mentioned very briefly. The fact that, spoiler alert but not really, none of the Glee Project winners ever get slushied on the show. In fact, Alex Newell is the only one that gets slushied, and it only happens once. And as a matter of fact, Rory Joe and the Glee Project Season 2 winner are three of the 10 New Directions members that never get slushied. FYI, the other seven are Brittany, Matt, April, Jesse, Lauren, Sugar, and Kitty. Does that take into account the Season 6 kids? I don't know. Moving on. All of this thinking and research got me to a realization. There is a correlation between the amount of times of slushies thrown and how funny the show is. Since I'm a big nerd, and like Michael, I love math, I even made a graphic to prove my point. In season 1, 11 slushies were thrown. In season 2, 13 slushies were thrown. In season 3, only 4. In season 4, only 4. In season 5, one slushie was thrown. A true low point. In season 6, 2 slushies were thrown. Back to Danielle. You can clearly see how the later seasons, aka the least fun ones, have very little slushy representation. And I think it is because the slushies were actually the backbone of the comedy of Glee. Anyways, this is the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. Love you guys and love the podcast, Danielle. Danielle, I agree with everything you said except that season 6 is funny.
I know. I'm a big season 6 apologist.
I got some beef with season 6, but the beef I all have is like plot stuff. Mm-hmm. I actually think comedy wise, it is for sure stronger than 4 and 5. Yeah. And I would dare say it's maybe funnier than 3. I think the plot of 3 is stronger, but I think the comedy of 6 is stronger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are episodes that I'm thinking of in season 6 that just make me sad that they exist.
Uh-huh.
Which we'll get to them when we get to them. Like, I was like, I remember my roommate was watching season 6, like, you know, last year sometime. And I just walked in and I was just like, I can't believe this is my show. What did my show turn into? So I don't think season six is all the way funnier than season three, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, here's a big problem. I like to conflate all of season six with the Hurt Locker part one and two.
Bitch, you and me are in the same boat about that. I remain. That is the best episode of this show. I'll say it to anyone's face. Like, what?
I genuinely think... I feel like pretty confident in saying that the Hurt Locker Part 1 is the single funniest episode.
Yes. Of
it, like, you know, there are other episodes that I personally like more because they have more across the board. Like, they have better stakes or they have better character beats. But, like, just amount of laughs per minute, Hurt Locker Part 1 is undefeated. I crack up when I watch that episode.
I'm looking forward to cracking up. I truly, I'll say it to anyone's face. I think those two episodes are two of the strongest and, dare I say, the best episodes on this show, and truly encapsulate to me what Glee means to me. Safe sex, I want it now. Do you know what I mean? We'll get to it when we get to it. Oh my God. You know what? I just had the worst nightmare about just a second ago in my head, like a premonition. We rewatch them. We realize they're not as good as we say they are.
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to say right now, Hurt Locker Part 2 is very fun, but when you think about how much you love it, you're probably thinking of Part 1.
I'm thinking of the montage with Sue.
Okay, that montage is very good. When I watched them, I watched them like back in October. Mm-hmm. And when I watched them, Part 1, I was like, yeah, this is just as funny as I remember. And then Part 2, I was like, oh, honestly, most of the stuff I remember already happened in Part 1. Sure. This one's still enjoyable, but like, okay.
Yeah. I always think of the montage with Sue when, you know, they're doing their...
Yeah, oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. The father figure montage. No one knows what that means. It's not a spoiler.
No, I know. I'm just thinking about it getting emotional. I just love this show. I can't wait to get to it. But that means the show would be almost over by the time we do that. Okay. Daniel, you are my type of person. I'm not this kind of person. I always just admire these people. The people that make me a graph. I love a graph. Mm-hmm. This graph is very exciting to me, very interesting. And also the fact that they sourced it as the holy texts, i.e. Glee Wiki. My best friend. From now on, you can tell anyone. I am obsessed with this. Slushies per season. Like, literally, what? I love that this exists. This needs to be out there. Like, I can't, like, this study, like, you need to, like, receive money from Ryan Murphy for this. Thank you for making it. It makes me so happy.
You talking about how the slushying on the Glee Project defies the laws of reality. Because can you imagine episodes of Glee where these things happen?
Yeah.
Where a student opens their locker and a slushy hose hits them? When would that be happening?
Also, like, what student took a drill to their locker and was like, this is like, this did a whole maintenance
overhaul.
Yeah, and like the pressure that you had to have with the slushy, like, what degree do you have to make that? Come on. Your props master dad make it for you? I don't think so.
Oh, man. Swim team sucks.
Swim team sucks. So no word of Rick the Stick Nielsen. I'll never forgive.
Danielle, thank you so much for pointing this out. The Glee Project really, really, really is proud of itself for the fact that people are slushied sometimes on Glee.
Totally.
They're really going to take that all the way to the bank.
And you know what? I love that for them. Up next, we have a message from Kaylee Kalechip.
Lena Taylor Swift, LPC Knatzer, and Ian Ignacio Todorojo all read. Holy fuck. I just saw the TikTok of you guys doing the iconic Rachel Berry New York scene and literally started bawling my eyes out. I feel like I've known you guys for forever now, and it's actually been over a year, I think. WTF bonkers bananas. I'm a little bit behind on the podcast right now due to the start of a new semester, so I haven't really been able to write in a while. But seeing your TikTok literally made me think about how much you guys have grown and changed as people while I've been listening to your podcast. I am so proud of you guys, and maybe that's weird, but I feel so connected to you two, and I love you so much. God, I'm crying again, literally thinking about how much I love you guys. I can't wait to keep hearing about your adventures together in New York. Oh my goodness, I love you, Goober, so freaking much. Thank you for being a sunshine on rainy days. You are such wonderful people with beautiful auras. I love you so much, and again, I'm so proud of you. Kaylee Kilchip, she, her. Kaylee Kilchip, we love you too.
Kaylee Kilchip, you are so loved by us.
I feel that you're connected to us too, because you vocalized the fact that you're very behind on the podcast, but then you also talked about our auras as if you had listened to Minisode 58.
And like, how did you know that?
About auras.
So you're connected to us, Kaylee, and someday when you get to this episode, you'll know. And you'll be like, whoa, that was so crazy. Honestly, Kaylee, listen to us when you can. Kaylee, I love you so much. That is literally so crazy. And I saw your comments on the TikTok and I got very emotional too. And I feel that way about you, Kaylee. And I feel that way about so many people that I like. I know that they've like been there along the way. And I know you've been here like the whole time, Kaylee. And it just makes me so happy. And it makes me feel like I've grown too. And I just, it makes me like, seriously, Kaylee, you make me so emotional. Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of those like first 3 month listeners that like I remember because, you know, we only had like 20 followers.
Yeah, I feel like
Twitter.
Kaylee was like one of our first like Twitter followers who would like talk to us. So,
well, Kaylee commented on the first TikTok we ever posted.
Oh my God. Kaylee.
And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to check this out.
And she did. Look at us here like more than a year later.
But there are so many of you that I like never say anything because it's weird, but I'll see your profile picture come up and I'll be like, you've been here a long time.
Yeah, no, totally.
I remember you.
No, I remember you. No, totally. And like, and truly, I look at where I am right now, not even with the podcast, but also with the podcast. Like, I'm just, and where I was when the podcast started, like, I was still in school, like, you know, I was living in my college town. I started living with my parents and then I lived in my college town again. And then I started living with my parents again. And now I'm here and it's just like, I hate to be that bitch, but it really do be getting better. You know what I mean? And I feel that growth for myself. So thank you. You know what I mean? And thank you for this message because it points out the growth that I've had. And also, I love you so much. Oh my gosh. Bonkers bananas crazy. Ugh.
Yeah. We love all you guys. Thanks for tuning in. We love those of you who were here day one. Mm-hmm. We love those of you who found our podcast this week.
And you know what? I love those of you who found our podcast in the future and you found this as a relic. I love you too.
We also get a lot of messages that are people who are like, hey, I just found your podcast. I've been listening to it nonstop trying to catch up. And those
people
also mean so
the
much
world
to me.
I know.
Just anyone tuning in and chilling with us.
For real.
You're great.
It makes me so happy. Like, because this podcast makes me so happy to do. Because truly I'm talking about one of my favorite things that has ever existed with one of my favorite people that has ever existed. And I'm just like out here living, being so happy and that I get to share that with people who feel similarly to me means more to me than I think I could ever, ever put into words. So thank you all for being here. Minisode 59. 59 more.
Hey-o.
Oh, yo. Oh, my gosh. Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, my gosh. You
Happy
guys are our Valentine's.
Happy Arizona Statehood Day. be our Valentine's is legally binding.
Mm-hmm. You have to send us chocolate in the mail.
On Wednesday, we got another episode, our penultimate episode on the Glee Project. Ooh. We're talking about tenacity and romanticality. If you have any thoughts, send them to us, recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Follow us on social medias if you like. You can follow us at recoveringgleek_podcast on Instagram and TikTok, and then at recoveringgleek on Twitter.
Love all of you.
For real.
See you again real soon. Happy Arizona Statehood Day.
Mm-hmm.
You're all our Valentine.
Seriously, love you guys for real. Love you so much. Oh my gosh, so sappy. A sappy minisode.
If you have another Valentine, you have to break
you
it off.
You seriously
with
have to break it off with them.
It's an exclusive thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you guys, this is an exclusive thing.
If they don't understand, you deserve something better, frankly.
Yeah. Tell them that your podcast hosts are your Valentine. You have to break it off with them.
You have to show us the text.
Yeah, you have to show us your breakup text. I expect that. Just kidding. Here's a mini kiss on your mini Valentine's forehead if you accept it.
Bye.
Catch you later.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.